Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, the third chapter. This is an unusual circumstance in the sense that men who have accepted Jesus Christ and have been freed from the burden of the law of Moses have not broken a habit. And they go to the temple to pray. I'm not saying they did wrong, don't misunderstand me. I'm simply saying that they could have ignored the temple because all that occurred in the temple had already been fulfilled and completed. Every offering and every messianic prophecy that had been taught and every scripture of the Old Testament that looked forward to the time when the Son of God would shed His blood as an atonement for our sins. But I think that these two men, Peter and John, went up to the temple to pray because they had a habit. And that habit had developed because they had a commitment. I don't think we have habit and then commitment. I think we have commitment and then habit. Sometimes we refer to it as tradition in the sense that we do things because we've always done those things or our fathers have always done those things. But I'm not a critic of tradition. Tradition, when it is not done simply as a repetitive exercise for which we have lost its meaning, I think that tradition can sometimes hold us between the ditches when we might decide we needed to go in a different direction. But Peter and John went together. And they went to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that they went for prayer because it was the ninth hour. I think they probably got there about 9:15 since they were both Baptists. I said to myself I wouldn't say that, but I did, didn't I? But excuse me. But a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had daily at the gate, and they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in to the temple. I also want us to notice this morning not only about commitment, but also about the providence of God. We do know that He is a God of all intelligence and that all knowledge belongs to Him. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is a God who understands the future before it happens. And I do not think it a coincidence that Peter and John keep their commitment to go to the temple and pray, and that certain other people have kept their commitment to bring a lame man to the gate Beautiful, where because being a cripple could not labor, but lived off the alms given to him by people who came to the temple. The Bible tells us that he was lame from his mother's womb and was carried. I do not know who carried this man to the beautiful gate. But the Bible tells us that this had been going on for quite some time. Someone had a commitment to see that this man got to where he needed to be. And someone had to be responsible to get two men of compassion and apostolic power who could take care of this man's needs. Let's read the story together. Acts 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement in that which had happened to him. You see the word happened. Sometimes we talk about happenstance. It just happened. Well, I don't think this just happened in the sense that we normally think of something just happening. I think the God of all things knew that there was a time and a purpose. Even after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when there could be people reached with some affirmative proof that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. And this man whom they had excitedly and with joy crucified because they believed him to be a blasphemer, it was now taught that he had been raised from the grave and that he indeed was the anointed one that should come. He was the seed of Abraham. He was the seed of the woman that would bring salvation not only to the nation of Israel, but to all the humans who lived on God's earth. We see this thing happening all through the Old Testament with Daniel. He purposed in his heart that he would not eat of the king's meat. The Hebrew children would not worship the false and golden image. Lydia, seller of purple, who was living in the city of Philippi, and there was no synagogue, so she went with some others to the riverside. And there she met the Apostle Paul, who instructed her in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she was saved and took her to their home and learned more about him and became an influential person in this congregation. Just curiously unexplainable? I don't think so. I would hate to look on my life and believe that God was not involved in my life. That the things that shaped me, the people that I knew, my parents, my grandfather, many things in life that brought me to this pulpit. I didn't plan them. I didn't look for them. I didn't ask for them. But God placed people and circumstances and pain, the loss of my right eye, all these things I thank God for, because they shaped and convinced me that I needed to be a person committed to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes I may have been too committed. And I mean that sincerely and honestly, not foolishly. Because if something interfered or tempted me or tried to call me away from the pulpit and preaching or from a revival meeting, I skipped funerals for people that were very close to me, because I'd had to have driven 150 or 200 miles. And I stayed so I could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I kept the meeting even though sometimes my own family was sick and needed me. I went to the pulpit. And I thank God for my wife, who understood and encouraged me. I can take care of it. You go ahead. I see commitment that perhaps others may not see, because in this pattern of prayer and going to the temple, it occurs to me that Peter and John probably could have found something very profitable, something else that they could have done that day. But there was something inside of them that called them from the problems of life and the circumstance of living on this earth, that urged and whelmed up on the inside of them, overcame whatever problems they may have had, whatever fears they may have had in their hearts about going back to the temple. It was a dangerous thing to do. It was time to go. It was time to go and pray. And for those people who daily carried this young man, and we don't know their name, we don't know their number, but we know that he had been crippled from his mother's womb. And to us, it seems so terrible that God could allow such a thing to happen to this man. And yet God saw in eternity, from eternity into time, and God saw that he needed this man there at the Gate Beautiful at that time. And so he was there for the glory of God. And as you'll see, that this man leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. It doesn't say that there were a lot of people saved, but Peter had an opportunity to preach and explain to them how this had all happened. And I think that's what it was all about. A divinely appointed circumstance and opportunity for men who were committed to God and a young man who had no understanding of why he was like he was to be placed there. Because his total expectation, according to the scriptures, were that he might receive something. That's all he knew. I'm here. I'm in these circumstances because I need something. That's not an unusual occurrence. I'm here this morning because I need something. I'm not looking for silver and gold, nor are you. But we're here this morning because we have a habit, we have a commitment, we have an interest. There's something about Sunday morning. There's something about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock that has been instilled in us by our knowledge of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. All of these things work together because we're here and we need something. Oh, there'll not be any miracles such as occurred at this particular time. There'll be something happening here today. It may be quietly happening. It may be profoundly intellectual. It may be strongly emotional. It may be joyously encouraging. But we know where we are. We're at church. And there is an expectation that we have. We have an expectation from the choir. We have an expectation from our music. We have an expectation from our prayers. We have an expectation from our offering. We have an expectation that looks to the invitation. When it is our prayer and our hope that God will demonstrate to us through something we have not expected, perhaps, that will happen. Someone being under the power of God's influence and super by His Holy Spirit, today is the day they decide, I will trust in Jesus Christ, or I will come for baptism. And maybe it's some word that's spoken, some hymn that's sung, or someone that comes to your mind, or some incident comes to your mind that you realize God loves me. And God has appointed this time for me to do what I know I ought to do. There was a pattern of prayer for these men who came to the city gate named Beautiful. And there we see the ravages of sin. And there isn't but one question that we have to answer, and that is why, and the evidence of this revelation is undeniable. Like the man who was healed of blindness, and his question was asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? And it was a stupid question, silly question. Jesus answered it by saying, neither, but that God might be glorified. All of the appointments that are made and all of that which occurs to us can make us stronger, better, more committed, or make us bitter and angry. Living your life in bitterness is probably the most worst lifestyle you can adopt or appropriate to yourself. This man was there because God needed him there. He didn't need him robust and healthy, 6'2", wedge-shaped, strong, broad-shouldered, vigorous. No, God needed a cripple. Sometimes we forget that. The Bible tells us that he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. I wonder how many times he thanked God he wasn't blind, or thanked God he wasn't deaf, or thanked God that he had his arms. You know, sometimes in our pain and suffering, we forget that. But God's providence is a potent factor in the lives of all of us. Just wondering how he felt that day. Just wondering if he said to his tenders, his caregivers, "I don't want to go to the temple today and beg." Who would? Begging is not our nature. Being crippled is not our nature. I can see him saying, "I don't feel like going. I hurt. I've been embarrassed day after day, holding out my hand to others. I'm sick and tired of it." And I think you could not criticize him for that emotion. But there were two men, Peter and John, who stopped and beheld him. The Bible tells us that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." That's a very strong statement. He didn't just say, "Look here." He said, "Give me your full attention." I think that was necessary because he probably didn't want to look up and see these men. I think he just held his hand up like he always did. Or whatever container. I think he just held it up. Peter said, "Look at me. Look up. Look at me. I want you to look at me. Look on us." It's an imperative. It means with intensity, you fasten your eyes upon us with intensity. And he thought he was going to get something. Expectations. Then Peter said what a lot of Baptist preachers have said through the ages. "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know what? Peter reached his hand down. I think that's part of it. He didn't just immediately leap up. But the Bible tells us that he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, he had to have something happen tremendously. Well, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple. That's sort of strange too. He may have had those caregivers, people who'd cared for him and loved him and suffered with him. It might have seemed the very thing he ought to do was have turned, ran back into where his home was in the city of Jerusalem, exulting in his ability to leap and run and praise God. But maybe he wanted to share the news with them first, but he didn't. He went with Peter and John into the temple to praise God. And I can imagine all the people saw him. They knew who he was. They'd seen him day after day. And now here's that man shouting down the aisle. And they know something extraordinary has happened. Because the Bible tells us they were amazed, filled with wonder. Bible continues, and as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses." That's why the man was a cripple. That's why Peter and John went to the temple, so that God could have a visible witness of the truth of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will not live in this life without burdens. Sometimes they may be invisible. They may be skeletons of our past. Therefore, mental, they may be emotional, they may be physical. But God can use who we are, where we are, if we will keep our commitment to do the things we know to be right. And in the wisdom and providence of God, we will be where we ought to be, when we ought to be there, for a purpose that God Himself may know, and only Him will know. But it will bring blessings to God and to the family of God. Stand with me to sing, please.
not an accident that we are here together today. So as we sing, if there's a need in your life that can be met, and every need can, will you come while we sing?
Sin cannot molest.